Well, it so often happens from time to time. I had a message all prepared that I was going to bring to the church. And the Lord said, that's not what I want you to preach.
Amen.
So I was praying, Lord, what's the message for this church today? And so He started giving me a message, started writing, came up with about 6 pages of notes. So I'm going to try to hit the highlights this morning and get to them. If you would please, I'd like to start with a scripture. So if you would please put up on the board there, on the overhead, James 4, 7 and 8. You're familiar with that scripture? I'm going to read it. I'm going to tell you a story to begin the message today. And I can read it from here. We got it? Okay. James 4, verses 7 and 8. It starts by saying, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I don't usually like to tell stories about myself, but I've never told this story. I pastored for years and years, never told this story before to a congregation when I was preaching. But when I was in high school, one of the things I wanted to do was be a football player. When I was a little tyke living out in the country in Louisiana, my mother took me to a high school football game, and I saw all these big guys in those nice uniforms. And after the game, we walked amongst them, and I said, man, I want to do that someday. I want to be one of these big guys. You know, they were kind of like superheroes, I guess, to me. So in grammar school, I played football, and when I got to high school, we had this coach who had been a college football player and a professional football player, and he was a real task driver. This guy would run us into the ground. And I remember, now picture yourself in Louisiana in August. Mm-hmm. August 15th was starting day for high school football in Louisiana every year. August 15th, we trained all year for it. But then we'd start with two-day workouts. So we'd go in the morning, have a three-day workout, go home, have some lunch, come back in the afternoon and have another three-hour workout. With helmets, shoulder pads, and everything else, 95 degrees, 95% humidity. I look back on it now and I say, how we didn't die, I don't know. It would kill me today, literally. But I remember after practice was over, you know, at the end of each practice, we'd run wind sprints. Then we'd do what we call grassroots. And we'd run, and every 10 yards, you'd blow the whistle, and you had to just hit the deck, get up, run 10 yards, hit the deck, get to the other end, come back, and do it again. And I remember one day at practice, I was so beat. I hit the deck and I tried to get up to run, and I was running like this. I mean, he ran us into the ground. Now, do you think that he did that because he hated us?
No.
Or because he didn't like us? Or because he was just trying to punish us? And then, after college, I joined the Marine Corps. Any of you have been in the service know what drill instructors do. And if you ever meet a Marine Corps officer, ask them about the Hill Trail in Quantico. We used to put on packs, sometimes, you know, 40, 50 pound packs, carrying a 8-9 pound rifle up and down the hills in Quantico, Virginia, and my training was in the summer. And I remember some of the guys from Montana, Wyoming, from the dry, cool climates, they were literally dropping. The corpsman would come with these tubs of ice and throw them in the ice so they didn't have heat stroke. Now, do you think those drill instructors did that to us because they didn't like us?
Yes.
Probably some of them did. No, I think what our coaches were doing and what our DIs were doing were trying to make us better. Steve knows. They saw potential in us that we didn't see in ourselves. They were trying to bring it out of us. because we would have never pushed ourselves the way they pushed us.
Okay.
We'll never push ourselves to exhaustion, but somebody else might. I believe that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want to push us to exhaustion, but He sees potential in us that we don't see in ourselves. And He loves us enough to try to lift us up. We have the best coach, the best drill instructor, the best commander-in-chief. He created it all. Amen? And He tells us He loves us. I'm so glad my coaches and my DI never told me they love me. Probably wouldn't have been appropriate at the time. But I'm glad that my Savior, my Commander-in-Chief, the one who pushes me every day, tells me He loves me. And I believe that God wants from us to be pushed more. But one of the paradoxes in the kingdom, this thing feels like slipping. One of the paradoxes in the kingdom is the way you get higher is not to try harder, it's to surrender more.
Amen.
So the first point I believe God wants us to be aware of this morning is that we need, go back to verse 7 please, to submit ourselves more to Him. Now, submitting ourselves is hard because we as Christians think, well, I've done that. I've submitted myself to God's Word. I've become a Christian. I've given my heart to God. I do all the things I'm supposed to. I'm doing okay, aren't I? But have we submitted everything? I want to ask us this morning, how is our submission going? How is our surrender going? Have we really surrendered everything? I'm not preaching at you this morning, I'm preaching to us, because I'm preaching to myself too. You see, because every day I've got to wrestle with that myself, and just about every night I say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't surrender that part today. Lord, I heard you calling me when the game was coming on, and I should have gone to my bedroom and spent some time with you. But it was such a good game, Lord, don't you understand? But you know, He had something better for me. I wonder what I missed that.
I don't know. Did you invite Him to the game to watch it with you?
Sometimes he says watch the game, and He watches it with me. Yeah. And a movie. Sometimes he'll say, go watch that movie. Especially with my wife. Mm-hmm. She watches a lot of these 1930s, 1940s old movies. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will say, okay, I want you to watch that movie. And sometimes it's like a war movie. And she goes, I don't even like war movies. Why am I watching this? And he'll show her some kind of a spiritual fruit.
Amen.
In these movies.
Yeah.
And it motivates her. And you know what? They watch it together. But what I'm saying this morning is we need to submit more. Because if you look around, I think you'll all admit the culture that we live in is affecting the church more than the church is affecting the culture. And I believe it's because the church is thinking with their souls and working real hard about what they think they're supposed to be doing. And they're surrendering less. Mm-hmm. Not doing what God wants them to. I'm talking about the church universal.
Right.
Think about it. Jesus got up every morning. And then when He went out, He got up every morning to spend time with the Father. And then when He went out with His disciples were always saying, oh Lord, it's all this good stuff we need to be doing. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing.
Amen.
I only do what the Father told me to do. And He was an example to us. And I wonder about myself and about the church, Are we doing only what the Father tells us to do? Are we adding all our own stuff in? So that at the end of the day, oh, we didn't get around to what the Father was telling us to do. This is hard stuff, huh? I used to ask my church, can anybody say ouch?
Ouch.
Because I can say ouch to them. If you look at the culture is militantly and verbally and abusively coming against anybody who wants to do the right thing. As Reggie was saying this morning, you decide to follow God, you're going to come under attack.
Yes, we are.
It used to be you came under attack from the evil one only, but now you're coming under attack from not only the evil one, but the people in the world who the evil one's influencing. Very often I watch the news and I think about how Nehemiah must have felt on the wall with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand with all these people yapping at him and screaming at him and trying to discourage him. And you can get a picture of what it must have been like. You see, we're in a war, folks. There's an enemy who hates us and who wants to thwart God's plans, not only in our personal lives, our family, but in our local churches and in the church universal, in our politics and our government, in every aspect. The government, the enemy wants to thwart God's plans. And we're not going to win this war simply by doing more grass drills or running up more hills or lifting more weights. We're going to win the war simply by surrendering more, submitting more to Lord Jesus Christ and to His will for our life. I believe every Christian should get up every morning and spend some time with the Lord and say, okay, Lord, or else right before you go to bed at night and say, oh, Lord, what are we doing today? What should my schedule be? Now, I understand if you're a parent, you've got things that dictate your schedule, little rugrats that dictate your schedule. And if you have a job, you have a job that dictates your schedule. But you know what? I remember when our kids were little and my wife was frustrated because she couldn't spend more time with the Lord. And the Lord said, you can glorify me just as much washing dishes and changing diapers as you can by preaching to thousands.
Yep.
You see, like my brother said, the Lord will walk with us through it if we're doing His will. Amen?
Amen.
So how's our submission going?
Ouch.
Have we submitted every part of our life? If some of you met Monica a couple of years ago when we had the joint service thing at Heritage Park. She was our children's pastor, and she came up to work with the kids that particular Sunday. But if you ask her, she says, Pastor Bob and Donna taught us, pray about everything, pray about everything. Don't do anything unless you pray about everything. And so I used to tell people, you need to pray about your job, you need to pray about your kids, your spouse, where you live, what you drive, where you work, when you go on vacation, where you go on vacation. Everything. Pray about it. I mean, we had people that go on vacation and they come back, boy, it was a disaster. Did you pray about it before you go? Oh, no. Well, no wonder it was a disaster. We need to pray about what we eat, how much we eat, what we grow in our garden, anything we do. Oh, but preach, that sounds fanatical. It's not fanatical. You know what, by the way, you know what fanatical is? You know what a fan is? Fan is short for fanatical. Yeah. What are you fanatical about?
Jesus.
I remember, those of you who are old enough will appreciate this. When I first moved to New England, I started watching the Red Sox and the Patriots. I used to call them the Red Faces and the Patsies. Because they didn't win anything. And I remember I told myself, I'm never going to buy a Red Sox or a Patriots t-shirt unless they win a championship. And I went for years without a Patriots had a t-shirt. And then when they finally won, I was able to buy a hat, buy a t-shirt. And I'm from Louisiana, so when the Saints won their Super Bowl, my sister and mother sent me up a couple of Saints shirts. But years ago, when I realized what fan meant, I realized, you know what? I don't want to be fanatical about a sports team. I want to be fanatical about Jesus. I'm a God fan.
Thank you, God.
So I made these. I went out and found this hat and made it up. The blue for deity, God is my head, and the red because Jesus shed His blood.
Amen.
And the saints who are washed pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. And so I wear my hat because I'm a Saints fan. They said, "Oh, are New Orleans Saints?" I say, "No, no, 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 wrong colors. The Saints of God."
Amen.
I'm fanatical about my God. I'm fanatical about God's people. That's who I'm a fan of. They say, "Oh, the world's going to think you're crazy." I don't care. What does God think? Would you put up, please, Romans 12, 1? Let's look at this thing about fanatic. Romans 12, 1, Paul writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I don't know about you, but being a sacrifice is pretty fanatic. That's all in. There's nothing left. When you present yourself as a sacrifice, that means you've died. There's nothing left. And Paul says, that's just reasonable. That's what is expected of you. That's not fanatic. He didn't say, present your bodies as a living sacrifice and you'll become fanatical. He said, that's just what's expected. So once again, I have to ask the question to the church. How is our submission going?
Ouch.
Are we really submitted? Jesus said the greatest commandment is what? You know, and you can quote it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Didn't say some of it, part of it, most of it. Does that sound fanatic? See, the Lord, I believe, told me to challenge the church this morning. It's not the message that I would have liked to bring, but it's the message I believe that God wants to bring to the church today. We need to be challenged to get out of our comfort zone. I used to ask my church every now and then, I'd say, "So, are you in a spiritual rut today?" And little smiles would come across their faces because we've got to constantly get ourselves out of our spiritual rut. The things that are comfortable, we tend to want to do. The things that feel good, we tend to want to go back and do them. So we do them over and over and over. But why are you doing that? Because we did it last year and it felt good. We did it last week and it's on my schedule because this is what I do every week. Why? So if we're willing to totally submit to God, the all, which is our reasonable service, if we're willing to do all that, guess what it'll lead to? It'll lead to my second point this morning. Intimacy with God. Submission leads intimacy. Why would I submit myself to what those coaches and DIs did to me? Because I wanted to be better than what I wanted to be. Why should we submit ourselves to God? Because we want to be better what He wants us to be. We want to be closer to Him. And we can't do it on our own strength. We need to surrender more and submit more. Yeah. Listen, here's a bonus. This wasn't part of my message today, but I just thought of it. There's a difference between saying, God, give me strength, and God is my strength. Write that down, meditate on it later. It's deeper than you think it is. There's a difference between saying, Lord, give me strength, and the Lord is my strength. Mm-hmm. God gave Samson strength, but the Lord wasn't his strength.
That's right.
He ended up blind. I believe this message is important because the church is on the precipice of a great deception. And if we don't want to be deceived, we need to be submitting more and becoming more intimate with the Lord. What is intimacy? Someone said to divine intimacy, we all have something in our mind these days. But basically, it's a loving personal relationship with another. It's a detailed knowledge or deep understanding of another. And it's a personal and private relationship. Isn't that what God wants with us? Isn't that what we want with God? You know how that comes?
Spending time with the Lord.
And you know how spending time with the Lord comes?
Get into His Word.
Submitting more. Yeah. Not my will, Lord, but Your will be done. Not all the stuff I have to do, Lord. Not all the stuff I want to do, but what do You want me to do right now? Even if it's just soak for an hour with You.
Yes.
But I've got all this stuff in the yard to get done.
Oh, well.
I've got something better. See, God is looking for a bride. Jesus wants a bride, not a girlfriend, a bride. Not a mistress, a bride. And He doesn't want to share His bride with someone else or something else or anything else. He wants to have His bride totally for Him. And He wants His bride to be just as passionate about Him as He is about His bride. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask ourselves once again another question. What are we devoting our time to? What, our effort, our finances, our resources? What do we devote those to the most? Because whatever that is, that's what we're loving. And I know as Christians we say, you know, having an idol is like spiritual adultery. Idolatry is like spiritual adultery, right? And of course, we don't have idols. We serve the Lord. Guess what? We can have idols. What do we spend most of our resources and time on? That can be our idol. Whenever we had our Bible school, we used to make sure, my wife and I made sure that Ezekiel 14, 1 through 8 was taught. Please bring that up. We wonder, as Christians, how could we be deceived? Now, in Ezekiel, this is talking about God's people. And we're going to go through all the way to verse 8. So as I read, please. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me. These are God's people, right? And sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Keep on, please. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet. Whoops, go back. And comes to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols. You hear that? That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart because they are all estranged from me through their idols. That's good. That's good for right now. If you have an idol in your heart, whatever it is, can you hear me still?
Oh, yeah.
That goes up over your ear.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Thank you. If we have an idol in our heart, let me give you an example. Let's say you really want to go to Hawaii on vacation. You haven't prayed about it, but you think it'd be a cool thing to do. And now, all of a sudden, you get a bonus, and you got the time off from work, and you say, now's my chance, I'm going to Hawaii. And you want that more than anything, because you've never been to Hawaii. So you start praying, Lord, should I go to Hawaii? But you're not open to hear no. Because this trip to Hawaii has become an idol in your heart. So you pray and you pray and you say, well, God didn't tell me no, so I guess it's okay. See how deceived we can get? That can happen to any, you know, anything. Oh, I really want, lately I've been wanting a tractor. Because I'm getting old and I'm getting tired of pulling stuff around the yard by myself. But I really don't really need it because my property's not that big. But it sure would save a lot of backaches. And as my neighbor says, it saves on the ibuprofen bills. So I was praying and praying and praying. You know what the Lord told me? Not now. Yeah. You know what that means? I can forget about it right now, but I might get it someday.
That's right.
But it'll be His time. Yeah. And I'm going to pray about which one to get, too, because He knows better. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago when the kids were little, the Lord told us to get this little Volkswagen van. Remember the Volkswagen vans? Those things were horrible. They couldn't get out of their own way. They had like a little 87 horsepower motor in the back. And the air conditioner always broke. And I like to research things. And I had researched it and decided, you know, what I wanted. Where I said, get a Volkswagen van. Yeah, okay. So we got one. It ended up being the best little car we ever had because when we take trips, it had soft, nice, comfortable seats with armrests and stuff. You had to get a wind behind you to go up the hill, but it was still comfortable. So I have to ask ourselves, how are we doing on submission and how are we doing on our intimacy? It's difficult in today's world not to have an idol creep up, because in today's world there's so many machines and gifts and gadgets and stuff to catch our eye, and all of a sudden we say, oh, I could use that, or oh, I want that. But we need to pray about it. Maybe the Lord will give it to you. So, you know, sometimes He gives you something even if you don't need it, just to bless you.
Yep.
And sometimes He keeps it from you because He knows it wouldn't bless you. Mm-hmm. But He knows best. Remember the old TV show, Father Knows Best? We had a father who knew best before TV came on.
Yep.
So we got to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. And how will we know that? How will we be sure? By spending time with Him. By getting intimate with Him. Now, my third point, and what I'm going to finish up with this morning, is I believe the Lord is giving a warning to the churches today. And I'm talking about the church universal now. And I believe that it's a very serious situation because, as I said earlier, I believe the church is right on the precipice of a serious, serious deception And when you read the scriptures, especially in Matthew 24, it says, if he can believe it, even the very elect will be deceived. And I don't want to be one of those. I don't want to be one of those very elect that is deceived. And I don't want God's people, because I'm a God's people fanatic.
Amen.
And I believe God loves us and doesn't want us to be deceived. He wants better for us. But if we're led by our soul, we're going to be deceived. If we do what is right in our own mind, we will be deceived. The Lord will tell us to do things sometimes that don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And it's contrary to the way we were going. But if we follow what He says, it'll always go better. And if we don't,
it'll get worse.
Not only will it get worse, but we could become injured and die. There's a way that seems right to man, and in the end it leads to
death.
Death. We know the scriptures. We have to be spirit-led. And that only comes by spending quality time with the Lord. We must totally, totally surrender. Yeah, we used to sing the hymn. Thank you, worship team, for singing the hymns this morning. I like the new songs, but boy, there's something about the old hymns that just touched my heart. But we used to sing this hymn called I Surrender All. And before we sang it, I always told the church, don't sing this unless you mean it. Because we don't want to be lying to God. Don't say, I surrender all. I surrender, if you don't mean it. The songs this morning, only Jesus, I like that. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus. Nothing else matters. You know, my grandfather used to tell me, and I remembered it all my life, always keep your good name and your good reputation, because once you lose it, you can't get it back. And that's been one of the things in my life that I've always paid attention to. But you know what? Before I became a Christian, I had a good name, but I had a rotten heart. People just didn't know. But today, if the world says you don't have a good reputation, who cares, as long as God thinks you do? If you're just obedient to what He says, the world's going to hate you. And you may lose your reputation with the world, but it doesn't matter if God loves you, if God thinks you're wrong. And then we sang another song this morning, Here I Am, Lord. I like that. I always love it when the Holy Spirit directs the songs with the message. He said, Here I am, Lord, right? What did we talk about this morning? Submission and intimacy? Spending time with God? What are we saying? Here I am, Lord. I want to surrender more. I know I can't do it by striving. I know I can't do it by trying harder. But if I surrender more in you, you can do it through me. Making sense? Am I making sense? So, I believe that a warning to the church is that much of the church is operating according to the soul and not the spirit. And I wish Malcolm was here. I know he'll listen to the tape later. But I think specifically for this local church, the Lord showed us that there's a curve in the road coming. And if you're not paying attention, if you're not listening to what the Lord is saying, you'll miss the curve and run off the road. So, to the leadership especially, but to everyone here, pray that you won't miss the curve. Whatever it is, I don't know what that is. God knows. And as you pray, you'll know. As the elders and deacons of this church pray, they'll know. But it may mean you'll have to take a turn to stay on the road. So that's what the message I believe God wanted me to bring today. But when I was in sales, I was always taught, if you don't ask for a sale, you'll never make it. So I want to give everybody an opportunity this morning If you're here this morning and you want to submit more to the Lord, and you want more intimacy with God, and you don't want to be deceived, just raise your hand. Lord, here I am. I want to submit more, and I know I've tried in the past, Lord, and it's been hard, and I can't do it, and I get derailed. Show me how, Lord. Show me how to surrender more. Show me when to surrender more. Show me what to surrender out of my life. And then show me, Lord, in my day, in my schedule, where can I block off time to spend more time with you? What can I cut out of my life to put you in more? Thank you for your hands. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, you see all of our hands, and I pray for us all this morning. Lord, this is a congregation that knows your word and loves you. But we also know that there's more in us that you see that you want to bring out of us. And as a loving and divine coach, you want to push us more. So as we surrender more, Lord, we give you permission to push us more. As we surrender more, Lord, we give you permission to take things out of our life that are in the way of our relationship with you. We give you permission, Lord, to take all of us. Because today we say, in front of everybody with our hands lifted to you, we say, Lord, I'm offering my body as a living sacrifice. I want to go all in, Lord. I don't want to just be half-hearted. I want to be wholehearted. I don't want to just say I'm a Christian, Lord. I want to be a fanatic. Because that's my reasonable. If the world calls me a fanatic, Lord, I know it's just the natural thing that you're calling us to do. The reasonable thing that you're calling us to do. We know, Lord, that as we pray this prayer, you see us and you hear us. And you know our hearts. And you will answer in your time and in your love, because we are yours, and you are ours. And our aim and our goal is to glorify you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. And everyone who agrees says, Amen.